Success is not found in their ability to avoid failure. It's found in their ability to minimize the impact of failure. They have learned to fail forward, or at least sideways. They seldom fail backward. And even when they do, they know how to navigate the choppy waters of a failed innovation in a way that preserves the long-term credibility of their organization and leadership. We'll see how they do that in a later chapter, but first, let's take a look at why it's incredibly difficult for most of us to learn much from these successful serial innovators. Contrary to what we might expect, many of them are clueless as to how they pull it off. If you ask them for guidance on the topic of innovation, many of them will give you terrible advice. They will tell you to do all the wrong things. It's not that they are trying to mislead. It's not that they are frauds. The problem is that they are unconscious competence. They do all the right things without being aware of how or why they do them. Unconscious competence. When you ask an unconscious competent for the secret to his success, he'll tell you what he thinks he does, not what he actually does. It's similar to what a natural athlete does when he picks up a ball and instinctively makes the right move or throws the right pass. Unconscious competents see and do things at a subconscious level far better than most of us could do with months of practice and preparation. They also usually have no idea that much of what they see and do is foreign and unnatural to everyone else, which explains why they make great teammates but lousy coaches. I remember as a young man reading an article by one of the greatest baseball players of all time. He claimed that hitting the ball was relatively simple. All you had to do was watch for the spin of the seams to determine what kind of pitch it was, and then you just hit the ball based on the spin. So I went out and tried his advice. It didn't work. I had no idea how the seams were spinning. I couldn't even see the seams. In fact, I could hardly see the ball. It was coming at me way too fast. Not long afterward, I heard another former player being interviewed on the radio. He said he couldn't pick up the spin of the seams either. When he tried, the ball ended up in the catcher's mitt. Yet, he was still able to hit a baseball well enough to have a lengthy career in the major leagues. The truth is that despite what one of the greatest hitters of all time might have thought, his ability to hit a baseball involved far more than simply picking up the spin of the ball and hitting it. It also demanded incredibly quick hands, great balance, proper weight transfer, arm extension, an accurate knowledge of the strike zone, and a host of other things I could never get the hang of. But all of these things came so naturally to him that he hardly noticed them. Instead,